All right, so let's get started today by asking a question. How do you feel about the news that Kellen Moore might be the new offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys? So send me your thoughts to the drivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about Kellen Moore becoming the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to start off today by giving you my thoughts on that. And that is, I think I'm okay with Kellen Moore becoming the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think he, if he becomes the offensive coordinator, as our reports show and as I would imagine, he's not going to be the play caller. More than likely, Jason Garrett would do that again. You remember he used to do that back when he was the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, and then he got coaching interest from somebody from a bunch of teams, and so the Cowboys promoted him to assistant coach so that he would stay. Eventually, ended up by becoming the coach. So he was really sought after when he was the offensive coordinator and he used to call the plays for the Cowboys. So it's not that he's bad at it; he was good at it. So we'll see what he can do now. If Kellen Moore becomes the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, we'll see what Jason Garrett can do as a play caller. It's not that there seems to be an increasing number of coaches that do their own play calling nowadays. For some reason, I'm not really sure why Jason Garrett gave that responsibility up a few years after he became the coach. I don't really know what all that's about. Apparently, it was kind of looked down upon at some point in the league that a coach would call his own plays. I don't understand that, because at that time apparently there was only two that were doing it, and that was Sean Payton and Andy Reid. And so it was the exception to the rule, where now it's kind of becoming more prevalent around the league, and it's all started with Sean McVay, who now has made it, I guess, kind of cool to be a coach who calls your own plays. So, long story short, I'm okay with Kellen Moore becoming the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. But I'm a little bit worried to see how much influence Scott Linehan had on Kellen Moore, because Scott Linehan was the guy who brought Kellen Moore over to the Cowboys. It was Scott Linehan who kind of had this idea that Kellen Moore had a high football IQ and was this football genius that a lot of people close to the organization supposedly believe. So they're obviously close to Kellen Moore. I'm gonna trust the front office and trust that they're doing their due diligence and figuring out who should be the offensive coordinator. But there is that little reservation of with me regarding Kellen Moore, because he was so close to Scott Linehan. So I'm a little bit worried of how much influence or how much Kellen Moore is gonna go back and ask Scott Linehan questions throughout the season, because you gotta imagine he's gonna need help from somebody. Right, he's gonna jump in from being a quarterback coach. 2 years ago, he was the backup to Dak Prescott. Then this last year, he retired and became the quarterback coach for Dak Prescott. And now, a year later, they're talking about making him the offensive coordinator. That's a really big jump in only 2 years, you know. So he's gonna need help from somebody. And my thoughts is, if I put myself in Kellen Moore's situation, I'm going to go back to whoever had trust in me and who was, I guess, kind of my mentor, and ask questions and ask that person what they would do in certain situations. And that's where I'm a little bit nervous that Kellen Moore is going to go back to Scott Linehan and they may be talking and whatnot. I mean, I'm sure that he's going to be talking to people within the coaching staff, like Jason Garrett and others around, like the wide receivers coach and just a whole host of other people, and probably now John Kitna, that's going to be or supposedly going to be the new quarterbacks coach. But I would imagine at some point he's going to ask Scott Linehan something, you know. I mean, it's only natural. So that's a little bit of a hesitation that I have for my part with Kellen Moore. Obviously, that he doesn't have any experience being an offensive corner, but everybody's got to start somewhere. And if the front office sees something within him and they see that he's supposed to have this huge core, this huge football IQ, then why not give him a chance, you know? And at least we'll see what the difference is between Scott Linehan calling plays and Jason Garrett calling plays. Because a lot of people seem to have forgotten what Jason Garrett used to be able to do with the Dallas Cowboys as an offensive coordinator and a play caller, including myself. I can't really go back and think of all the good things that Jason Garrett gave us when he was a play caller because of the more recent things that have occurred, you know, the 8-8 seasons, the just mediocrity left and right. So we'll see. And I'm excited in a reserved way. I'm not sure what's gonna come, but I'm hoping that it's for the best, and I'm hoping the front office does their due diligence and looks everywhere, not just at Kellen Moore, and they're just gonna stick to him. I hope that they do a good, thorough review of everybody who they're gonna interview or everybody who they interviewed, and pick the right candidate for it for the position, which I'm sure they will. And not to mention, I mean, Will McClay, we have Will McClay, so. If one thing's for sure that we know that's going to happen this offseason is we're going to get production from anywhere in the draft. You know, we lost the first round draft pick on the trade for Amari Cooper, but we didn't really lose anything. Looking back, that was a great trade, and there's no way that you could have gotten an Amari Cooper in the first round, at least in the pick that the Cowboys would have picked this year. So that was a great pick. That was a great pickup. That was a great trade. And this new front office now with Will McClay has a, now they have a reputation for getting good guys in, in deeper in the draft. Second round, third round, even up to the sixth round, we've had great picks. And I would even say Noah Brown was a great pick, which if my memory doesn't fail me, he was a seventh rounder. I'd have to check up on that, but even we've gotten production from him, and that's great to see. Not that it's been amazing production, but it's been great, and he it's been good, and he's a good blocker. He's a good blocking wide receiver, and occasionally he shows up at the right times. So this front office with Will McClay, being the unofficial GM for the Cowboys, has done great things as of late. So. I have a very good feeling. I'm trusting the front office a lot more nowadays. So if they decide to go with Kellen Moore, then I'm all for it, and hopefully we get something good out of it. So now let's talk about what happened yesterday. And the obvious situation here is the non-pass interference call that should have been called. Obviously, that was pass interference. The guy hit the receiver way before the ball even got there, and even did a helmet to helmet. So if you're not gonna call pass interference, you should at least be calling the helmet to helmet hit. But my perspective is there's four quarters in the game, and there's 15 minutes in the game, and it's 15 minutes in a quarter. You have plenty of other chances to win the game. And you don't take advantage of those. And whose fault is it then? You know, you can't blame the refs regardless of how bad they were, because yes, that was a horrible, horrible call. But we should all be used to that. How many bad calls do we get in a game? How many bad calls do we get every other drive, seemingly? You know, it happens all the time. It happens on a consistent basis. It happens all the time. Nobody should be surprised about it. Now, obviously, this pass interference call was a blatant one. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that was a pass interference. But you still had a full game to do something about it, and you didn't. So the refs didn't lose the game for the Saints. The Saints lost the game for the Saints. Plain and simple. You can sit here and blame the refs all you want, but guess what? There's still all that time on the clock, and you should have done something about it. Now, is the NFL going to do something about this? No. What can they do? You can't do anything when a ref either makes a bad call or doesn't make a call when it should have been made. You can remove them from being refs. You can fine them for the bad calls, but at the end of the day, referees are humans too, and they're gonna make mistakes all the time. You can take the best referee ever, and they're gonna make mistakes, right? So I'm not a big fan of blaming the refs for a lost game. You know, when it happens to the Dallas Cowboys, of course I get mad, and when it happens to the other team that the Dallas Cowboys are playing, I always say, man, if I was a fan for the other team, I'd be pissed right now. Because it happens all the time, you know? So it's just something that we're gonna have to live with. Refs are human. And everybody's gonna make mistakes. Yeah, I feel even if you put, I don't know that there's any way that you can put machines into figuring out whether it's a penalty or not. It's the game is too complex. It's too complex. Not that the game is too complex, but the whole thing is too complex for a machine to know, at least now. So, you know, there's no perfect solution right now, and humans are humans. They're gonna make mistakes. Refs, however obvious that call was, they're allowed to make mistakes. Although I get it, this was a huge one. I understand that, but it was not. That's not what lost the Saints the game. Now there was another bad call in the Patriots game against the Chiefs, but that one was kind of. It was kind of salvaged by the fact that there was two penalties on the defense. One of them, which was an obvious pass interference that was called, and then the roughing the passer, which was just a BS call because now apparently you're not allowed to touch Tom Brady on his shoulder without getting a pass roughing the passer call. The hell was that? The guy barely touched his shoulder, and the ref threw the flag, assuming that the guy had touched Brady in the face. That's a ridiculous call. You can't be throwing that flag if you don't see what's going on. The ref was standing behind the play, and he assumed just because of the motion of the hand, and Tom Brady's probably flinched a little bit, and the referee just assumed that the hand went to the face and called a roughing the passer. That's a BS call. You know, you can't be making calls on something that you don't see. You can't assume that something happened because you just make you're not basing it on facts anymore. You're basing it on what you think happened. And that was a bad call on my part, in my opinion. I think a lot of people are gonna, if you know which play I'm talking about, you'll probably have the same You probably have the same opinion that I do, because it was a terrible call. It was just an awful call. Tom Brady is just like anybody else. Just because he's won so many damn Super Bowls, nobody's allowed to do anything to him. Nah. You know, I get it that the guy is old, and if you just touch him, he's gonna tip over, you know. But I mean, that's what football is. If you don't want to be touched, then go play some other sport, because that's not gonna happen in football. But other than that, man, what a hell of a game, huh? The Patriots versus the Chiefs. That was a great game. Great game. I typically don't watch the AFC and the NFC championships, primarily because the Cowboys are never in it, at least since I've been watching football. And so I never really watched those games. But yesterday, I said I can't miss the Kansas City Chiefs against the Patriots. I know that's going to be a great game. And sure enough, it turned out to be a great one. I mean, it went into overtime. It was just awesome. I wanted the Chiefs to win. I know I picked the Patriots to win that game, but I wanted the Chiefs to win just because, like everyone else, you know, I'm kind of over the fact that the Patriots are in there, but you gotta respect them. You gotta respect Bill Belichick, and you gotta respect Tom Brady. I don't understand how they were underdogs in this game. I still don't understand that. That still blows my mind, because how can you say that
the Patriots with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are underdogs. That's just ridiculous to me. That's ridiculous, especially when the Kansas City Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who which where this is his first starting year, his first year playing in the NFL playoffs as a starter. You know, it's his first year. How can you pick Mahomes over Brady? You know, and it still went into overtime. When the Chiefs scored and they left 2 minutes on the clock, I said that's way too much time. That's way too much time for the Patriots. They're gonna go down and they're gonna tie this game. And sure enough. Or sorry, they're gonna go down and score, and then Patrick Mahomes comes back in and does his thing. I mean, it was great. It was a good thing. It was a good game. I mean, there's nothing else really to say about that. It was an awesome game. I loved watching Anthony Hitchens in there. It made me happy to see him in there because he wasn't one of my favorite Cowboys, but he was somebody that was always there to make a play when it was needed. Especially when Sean Lee was injured all those times, Hitchens was always there making plays. So it made me happy to see him in there. Too bad for him that they lost. Where's Orlando Scandrick, by the way? I thought he was supposed to be with the Chiefs. Did he get let go or something? Or was he injured? I hadn't seen Orlando Scandrick. I don't think I saw him last game either. Interesting. Let me know at the drivecowboys at gmail.com what happened to Orlando Scandrick. So anyways, that's my thoughts for today. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you know where to reach me. The Drive, CowboysAddict at gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Dallas underscore addict so you can get notifications when a new episode comes up. And don't forget to hit the subscribe and like and subscribe. That's a different thing, sorry. Don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening. See you next time. You know, man.